In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are familiar with the sort of discussion that is taking place here between the expert in the law and Jesus. It is a discussion about the law. And you know, and I know, that all around us there are discussions, maybe even arguments about the law. Some people say, this is the sort of law that the government should make. Others people say, no, this is. The government should repeal this law. No, they should repeal that law. This is what the government should be doing. No, they should be doing this. Arguments about the law. And we also argue about God's law. Someone will take something from the Bible and say, look, here's what God says. This is the law of God. Someone else will say, no, this is what God says. This is the law of God. That law is irrelevant or outdated, and there's an argument about God's law. This is a discussion, if not an argument, about God's law. It's an expert in God's law asking Jesus a question about God's law and giving an answer about God's law, and Jesus giving him the true meaning of God's law. So the expert in the law, he asks Jesus a question, and he asks it in order to test Jesus. So we know from the beginning that this is not a sincere question, at least at this point. He's doing something to catch Jesus in his words, as the Pharisees and the scribes often do. They want to get Jesus to say something that they can use against him later. So they test him with a question, see if he will give the right answer or, according to them, the wrong answer. But Jesus turns it around and he asks the expert in the law a question. The man says to him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you're the expert in the law. What do you think the law says? How do you read it? And he gives the answer of the two great commandments, which Jesus himself at other times will say, love the Lord your God with everything you are and everything you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two great commandments. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. You measure up against the law. That's the answer to what you must do to inherit eternal life. Love God with everything you are and have, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the law says, if you do these things, you will live. If you do them, you will live. The opposite, of course, is also true. If you don't do them, you die. That's what the law says. That's all it says. Do this, and you will live. But the man isn't quite satisfied. He wants to justify himself. In other words, he wants to prove to others, maybe, but probably more so to himself, that he is keeping the law, and therefore, Jesus, I want some assurance that keeping the law, I'm going to inherit eternal life. He tries to justify himself. He's already given the answer that measures up against the law. Now he's going to measure himself up against the law and see how it comes out. He doesn't seem to have a problem with the God part of the commandment. He seems to know who God is and what he is to do to love him. He doesn't ask Jesus about that. Well, how do I love God with everything I have and am? He doesn't ask Jesus. He does ask him about the neighbor part of the commandment. Because if he can figure out who his neighbor is, then he can love that person, and then he can be assured, at least in his own mind, of inheriting eternal life. Who is my neighbor? And then I'll go love that person. Jesus tells him a story that is very familiar to us, the Good Samaritan, we call it. The kids all know the name of it. I don't even have to say it. So familiar to us. Jesus tells the story about a man who is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and robbers beat him and leave him for dead and take everything he has. And he's lying there half dead on the side of the road, and two men walk by, a priest and a Levite, and they're on their way or to or from the temple, doesn't say. But the priest and the Levite, they both have duties to carry out in the temple, given by the law of God. God commands the priests and the Levites to do certain things, and they are either on their way to do them or coming back from doing them, and they see this man on the side of the road, and I would guess they can't tell from where they are whether he's dead or not. And the law is pretty clear. If a priest encounters a dead person, they are not allowed to touch them except if they're immediate family members. They are not allowed to become unclean by touching a dead person unless they're immediate family members. And if it's the high priest, he can't ever become unclean by touching a dead person, even if it's an immediate family member. So the priest, he doesn't want to be unclean for doing the duties that God has given him, so he walks by on the other side. The Levite, too, he knows that if he touches a dead person, he's unclean for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, he has to be cleansed ritually, and if he's not, then he's cut off from Israel. The priest and the Levite know the law of God. They know what it is that God has commanded them to do, and they are going to do it. And they're not going to let a person lying on the side of the road get in the way. Then the Samaritan comes along, and the Samaritan, he's outside the law anyway. He has nothing to do with what the Israelite law, because he's only half Jewish anyway. He is descended from Assyrians and Israelites in the northern kingdom, and the Jews and the Samaritans have nothing to do with each other. Samaritan, he's not going to the temple. He has nothing to do with the temple or the sacrifices or the priests or the Levites. He's the one who is on a journey. And he comes over and he has compassion on the man. And he takes him and he binds up his wounds and he puts him on his own animal and he takes him to a safe place in the inn and he takes care of him himself. And then he tells the innkeeper to do the same. Take care of him. And here's the money to take care of him. And if you go over that, I'll repay you everything when I come back. So the innkeeper doesn't have to worry about whether he's going to spend a lot of money or use a lot of food or spend a lot of time caring for him. The Samaritan says, I will repay you everything when I come back. Jesus says to the expert in the law, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the one who fell among the robbers? And as I said earlier to the children, notice how Jesus has turned the question around. The expert in the law had asked, who is my neighbor? Because if I can find out who my neighbor is, I can take care of them and fulfill the law. Jesus says, who was the neighbor? Who acted like the neighbor? Who did the things that a neighbor would do? The one who has mercy on him. You go and do likewise. This is a discussion about the law of God. It's a discussion about what is the point of the law. The priest and the Levite think they know the point of the law is the law. The point of doing the law is to do the law because God gave it to them and they are to do it. But the Samaritan, he's the one who fulfills the law. The one who is outside the law, he fulfills it because, as Paul says, and we know, love is the fulfilling of the law. And in fact, what the priest and the Levite had forgotten is that even their duties in the temple, all of the things that God had commanded them to do, that they were going to do or had done, that too was not an end in itself. Why did Jesus give them all of those things to do? Why did God give them all those things to do through Moses? Why did God tell them, and here's what the priest should do, and here's what the Levite should do? For the sake of the people, not for their own sake, not even really finally for God, because what need has God of bulls and goats and sacrifices? No, it's for the people. They could confess their sins and they could be forgiven. But more than that, it was for the people because everything that the priests and the Levites did, everything that went on in the temple, everything that God had commanded was for this purpose and goal, to point to Jesus. This is why God is so specific and particular when he tells them about how to build the tabernacle. That's why he's so specific and particular when he tells them what the priests are to do and the Levites are to do, because all of it is pointing to Jesus, and God doesn't want that picture messed up. Jesus, the Son whom he would send, who would be blameless, without blemish, righteous, without sin. God wants that picture absolutely clear. And this priest and this Levite, they forgot what it was pointing to. The difference is not between love and the law. It's about the point of the law, that love is the fulfilling of the law. And who is the Samaritan? Who is the neighbor to those in need? It's the one who has come, who by divine right was outside of the law, who puts himself under the law to redeem those and save those who are under the law, those who are burdened and wounded by their sin and the sins of others, those who are lying half dead or even all the way dead. Either way, Jesus can raise them. He comes and he has compassion. That's a Jesus word in the Gospels, compassion. It's a word when Jesus sees the crowds, he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on the widow at Nain who her only son has died. He has compassion on them and he heals them and he speaks to them and he nourishes them. He lifts them up and he binds up their wounds and he puts them on his own animal and he takes them to a safe place. Takes them to a place to be taken care of. Takes them to the church to be taken care of. Now we all know that not every church is a safe place for people who are wounded. We know that not every place is a safe place for those who are in need of care, but Jesus is always safe. Jesus is always the one who will take care of you. And if Jesus is there with his words and his gifts, regardless of what outward churches look like, then his body, the church, is there. And that place is a safe place for sinners. That place is a place for the wounded. That place is a place where Jesus himself binds up wounds and nourishes people and gives them his life. And he says to the innkeeper, take care of him. Same thing that it said about him. He took care of him. Now he says to the innkeeper, you take care of him. And he gives him everything he needs to take care of that wounded man. Gives him all of the resources that he needs to take care of the one who is in need. He gives him the money and he says, if there's anything else, don't worry about it. I'll repay you when I come back. Same thing he says to the expert in the law. You go and do likewise. Now we are all together, each of us, every one of us, the wounded, whom Jesus has gathered to himself, wounded unto death by our sin. Jesus comes, and he has compassion, and he gathers together his own people, and he says, here, I will give you everything you need. I will take care of you. I will nourish you. I will feed you with eternal life. That's the difference between the law and Jesus. The law says, the law question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus says, I'll give you eternal life. Because I have fulfilled the law. My love is the fulfillment of the law completely and perfectly. And I will give you eternal life. And I will give you rest, all you who are weary. He says to the innkeeper, take care of him. So it is in the church. This is a picture of the entire Christian life that Jesus gives us here. A picture of Jesus picking up and gathering the wounded and taking care of them, and then the wounded taking care of each other. So when we together kneel at this table of the Lord, and he gives us what we need, eternal life and forgiveness and salvation, he bears our burdens. He takes our sin and our death, and instead he gives us life. And then he says, do likewise. Not accomplish salvation, not accomplish the forgiveness of sins, not save people, but bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. The wounded caring for the wounded. And all together, the wounded being cared for by Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.